hot? Thank you, Joe. Testing, testing. You know it's coming. If you build it, they will come. I needed a few minutes to cool off. I've been running around. We were hoping more people would show up for worship today in person. We appreciate all those that are joining remotely still, and we love you and can't wait to be back with you, but we understand. And so, but you may not be able to see it, but there are 40 people here today, and that's our biggest crowd so far. And very excited about that. And as I catch my breath, I'm surprised I didn't get any comments about this morning. But when I was getting ready this morning and jumping in the shower, I realized that there was no soap. And so I quickly, before I get in the water, I go to check to where the normal place is, because Luana always makes sure that there's soap there, and there was no soap there. And so I'm not the loofah kind of guy, but this morning I was. And so I believe I washed off with raspberry sugar is what it was called. So if you noticed a very sweet, fruity smell, that was me. But until I was running around this morning, because Prentice reminded me not to be nervous because I'm on national television and the scouts are watching, and hopefully not CNN scouts, but maybe Hollywood. Or maybe if you saw me sprinting outside this morning, maybe the NFL scouts are watching. I don't know. But I just want to start out this morning with reading the scripture. It's Galatians 2:20. It's one of my favorites. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And wouldn't it be refreshing if we saw politicians in Congress or in the Oval Office, and I'm not saying it never happens, but I don't think it happens much. If we saw them on national television and they all got on bended knee and they all prayed together, and we saw that a lot. Because I'm one of the most patriotic people that you'll ever meet. And that's hard to say, because there's a lot of people that are in this room right now that lived through World War II and before. And I miss calling her on Memorial Day, but I Facebook messaged her, and I'd be remiss without saying this. I talked to her on her birthday this week. She turned 93, and she's the last of five brothers and sisters, my dad being one. She's the last surviving one. And I talked to her for almost 3 hours. And we talked about her brother that was killed in World War II. And I remember the sadness in my grandmother growing up. I remember waking up, because I slept at her house most of the time when I was young. I remember waking up at her house and hearing her move around, and just as a kid, maybe midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, and she'd be sitting in her chair with the porch light on. Her recliner was right next to the porch light, so she could see who was coming up to the front door. And she would always hug me and just tell me she couldn't sleep. And later I talked to my Aunt Millie and I said, what is she doing? I noticed she does that a lot. She's still hoping that her son's going to pull up in a cab. But she knows that he's not. But so Memorial Day is a very important day for my family. And I just wanted to share that. But the reason I say that is my family is very patriotic. And some of the other most patriotic people that I've met, except for those that lived during wartime, were a family that was from Poland that lived two houses down from us, and we became very close with them. In fact, my kids in the summer used to go over to her house almost daily because she was such a great cook, like Chef. And they would knock on the door and ask if she would make them something to eat, and she always would. And every Christmas day was her son's birthday, and he was Mary's age, if I recall correctly. And we would gather there with sometimes 40 or 50 of their family, and sometimes we were the only people in the house that were speaking English. And they would talk about how wonderful this country is, and it just really sit with me. So I'm very patriotic, but I look at what is going on with our country today, and it really, really bothers me. And I'm really thinking, you know, right now, I was up late watching the news, as many of you were, what's going on. And I feel so terrible for the family of the man that was brutally killed by the police officer. And I know I've seen the video. And it is very damning. I don't know everything, but that's enough for a lot of people to become very angry. I think we need to remember our that family that suffered that. We need to pray that if that officer is found guilty, that he is. He gets the fullest extent of the law. In fact, if he's found guilty, which I believe that he is, based on what I've seen, that he is locked up for life, as he should be. But what I've noticed beyond that, and of course the I understand the anger, but what I saw last night was beyond that. It was looting and all those things, but really made me start thinking about the state of our union. And the complete and utter lack of love for our country. And our country is not perfect. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of evil people. But how much the evil one has invaded our country. And we're at war. We are at war. And when I think about how terrible the loss of life was in Afghanistan and Iraq, and what that went on for some 15 plus years. I believe the amount of Americans lost was 7,000-8,000. Do you know in that same time period in our country, we had over 180,000 people that were killed in shootings, murders, stabbings? Where does that come from? Some of them are accidental, but not many. And I believe it comes from the evil one and a total lack of knowledge of who God is. And I want to talk about the value of knowledge today. And don't let me be mistaken, because James tells us that we are not going to be saved by knowledge alone. We have to have faith. But how are we going to develop faith? How are we going to develop? We can't work ourselves to heaven with deeds. But like James said, you will see my faith by what I do, by my deeds. If you have the faith, the deeds are just going to follow. And your attitude in your heart is not going to be, I'm doing this so that I can secure my place in heaven. I'm doing this because I love Jesus and I want to share the knowledge of that. There's two things that we've got a problem with. We need to have forgiveness of our sin, and we're all, and I heard somebody talk about it this morning. You know what? We're all going to die. And the Bible and God has given us the knowledge to take care and fix both those things. And I am shocked every day, and I'm also embarrassed in myself when I talk to people. And I should know this because a family took me in California for about a year and a half, who had never been to church before, ever. The dinner conversation included sentences with the F word every single night. They didn't know any different. They were not churched at all. And I should not be amazed by this today. That was back in the 80s. When I run across people, and it happened this week, where we asked a person, do you know what the gospel is? Didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. And I think what we do in the church is that, especially those of us that have been in it a very long time, we assume that everybody knows, but they don't. And it's a very simple story. It gets complex, and that's what scares a lot of people, because all the names and all the law and all that kind of stuff. But if you truly think about it, from Genesis talks about where we came from. That answers a big question, right? The scientists have been teaching ever since I've been in school that we come from salt water. And somehow a mass, and you know, well, how do you explain trees? The biggest oak tree I've ever seen. Well, those come from fresh water. Well, where did all the water come from? Well, it came from asteroids and comets. Well, our planet's covered in 75% of it. So that's an awful lot to be carried by comets and asteroids. And so that's what our children are being taught. That's what I was taught. And it's wrong. It's wrong knowledge. Just think about an oak tree. When I used to go deer hunting, we used to look for the acorns because that's where the deer were going to be. They're going to be looking for those to eat them. And it's a little bit bigger than your thumbnail. And it grows into this massive tree. Science can't explain that. They can't make a tree. It's a miracle. It truly is. Well, I want to start out with the value of knowledge about telling you a couple of quick stories, which I have trouble doing. I need to watch my time. When my cousin and I were about 10, and we grew up together, my cousin Kenny, and Kenny Wright, he's a preacher in New Iberia, Louisiana. And actually, he just posted on his Facebook page. You can look him up, Kenny Wright. He might go by Ken Wright now, but I think it's Kenny Wright. His dad's Ken. But he's my age. We're 5 days apart in age. He was getting out of the hospital as I was going in. My mom was going in. Same hospital. We played sports together. We grew up together. His mom and dad became my legal guardians. We grew up very close. And so he's reminding me of a story of, and this is one thing that he even said it. He said, you may not believe this. And I stopped telling a lot of my stories that happened to me because sometimes I get the feeling that people that don't know me well, they don't believe it. But he tells a story, and you can look it up. He just posted it yesterday or the day before about why when my uncle got out of preaching school, we moved to a small town in rural Mississippi in the early 80s. And the reason we left there is because we were ran out of town by the Ku Klux Klan. And you would have thought by the 80s, and in most of the rest of the country, it was getting much better. We had gone through the civil rights movement. Man, I know there's prejudice. There's prejudice in every race. There's prejudice in inside every race. We all have our own prejudice against certain things. but I did not expect to see what I saw. And it was all because we invited a boy over from school to play basketball in our driveway. And then my aunt came out and pulled him in the house, which he did not want to go, and now we know why, to have dinner with us. That very next day, the Ku Klux Klan was at our house. And they were telling us that we don't do that kind of thing around here. And of course, we kept doing it. Because in God's family, there's only one race. We're all God's children. But my cousin and I were more bold because we were young and probably dumb. But we started getting death threats, and we started being told what they're going to do to my young cousins, and what they're going to kill my cousin and I. They're going to do things to my aunt and uncle. And we ended up leaving there because of it. Now, the knowledge of that, I don't think it would have changed our actions. But there are a couple of things that happened to my cousin and I that you may think is a little bit more on the lighter side, but our lives were still in jeopardy. When we were about 10 or 11, I lived in Highlands, Texas, and I lived on a part of the San Jacinto River close to the Ship Channel, a place called Banana Bend. And our property backed up into a railroad track. And my cousin and I had to walk down the railroad track to fish in the river. And so the train had just come by. We walked down, went fishing, wasn't catching anything. So we had the bright idea. This is a very long trestle that crossed the river. And it was one of those concrete ones that just had a little bit of concrete on each side because it wasn't for pedestrians. This was just for the train to cross the river. And I'm thinking, okay, I live here. I see these trains come by, and it just came by. So we should have plenty of time to make it across. And I don't know if you've ever walked on a railroad track, but it's kind of difficult because you got to catch those pieces of wood, those ties. And we get a little more than halfway across. The train just came from behind us. And on both ends of the bridge, it made not a 90, but a big old bend, so you couldn't see the train until it was right upon you. Couldn't even hear it. And then we see a train coming the other direction. The train had just passed. And so we dropped all of our fishing stuff. We're looking down in the water, and there's railroad ties sticking up out of the water. We were afraid to jump. And so there was a little place that had railings on it that you could stand on. And we're hanging, we ran to that and barely made it, and we're hanging off the side of it. And even the pilot of the train came out on front of the train and was telling us to jump. And we didn't jump. We held on. It was shaking. But I didn't have the knowledge that they've got places where they can make those trains pull off and one come through, and they can come different directions at different times within a short period of time. And that would have been a good piece of information to know, right? Well, we didn't know. We thought we had plenty of time. And well, I'll skip that story maybe for later. I got another good story, but I got lots of stories, as you know. But how do we, if we're going to have knowledge, how do we know the source is true? Well, if it's on the internet, it's true, right? Google? Yeah. No. And it's one of those things that when I think about it, because I'm hearing all this stuff coming out of our universities of higher learning, that this country is a terrible place. But most of the people I hear saying that, and I'm just not talking about younger people, older people too, but that what a terrible place this is. And it's like they don't know their history. They're talking about socialism. And they don't understand what socialism leads to. Even if you read the works of Karl Marx, communism is the ultimate goal of socialism. That's the ultimate goal. And where only a few are over the many, and they decide where the money goes. And that's never worked in the history of the world. And it's crazy. And there's people saying, they're even making movies about it now, that God is dead, or that God, there is no God. So you're telling me that when we die, that's it. And you're telling me that we and this little acorn that becomes this great tree and all the intricate beauty that God created just happened. And I'm thinking to myself, what makes more sense? But they're being hammered with it. They're being told that this is the way that it is. And what I always go back to, and I've been talking about this for years, is that their calendar, my calendar, is dedicated and predicated by the death of Jesus Christ. You're keeping time by when he died, and you're saying that God never existed. It's 2020 because of Jesus Christ. And they have forgotten where that comes from. They've even stopped looking for it. And so they don't believe in him, but they're keeping time by him. I want to talk about my conversion for a minute. And some of you may have heard this. I haven't said it in a long time. But I don't mean my baptism. My baptism happened when I was 13 in the Grangerland Church of Christ. My uncle was a preacher there. My cousin Kenny got baptized. I got baptized. I was young. But I don't believe that my heart was converted. And I had some problems in my life. I was living on my own in Southern California. I was isolated from my family. I fell away from the church. I was involved in all sorts of horrible things. I sold everything that I owned, and I went on a cross-country road trip. And I saw beautiful parts of the country, but I ran out of money in Lexington, Kentucky, where I started working for a business that was a legal business, and I became the top salesperson in that business. And then they wanted me to open up another store. And that's when they divulged to me that it was a front for an illegal operation, a very large illegal operation. And I was young. I was making a lot of money. And then I got arrested for something stupid. A friend of mine had put a pack of cigarettes, because he smoked, I didn't, in my pocket back at the grocery stores where they kept them at the front, not behind the lock stuff. They had them on an aisle. I had plenty of money on me. We were talking. I paid for my groceries. Then I got arrested because they had me on video. And they pressed charges. And I went to jail. And the people that I worked for bailed me out because they didn't want me talking and telling them about the business. And so I got terrified. And so I hid. I jumped bail. And so I jumped bail. I hid out. Then I found out that this group of people went over to the place that we were renting. My buddy was with me. And they took everything I owned, including my motorcycle, my mode of transportation. They took it. And they were looking for me. They even roughed him up. Because I didn't have the knowledge at first, but then I found out that when somebody bails you out, they're responsible for you. So now they're going to be on the spotlight if I don't show up. And I'm not showing up because these people are crazy. They're going to hurt me. So I had somebody take me to the nearest truck stop, and I took 5 days, and I hitchhiked back to Los Angeles where I was living. And I only had the clothes on my back and a little bit of money in my pocket. And the only people that would pick me up were truck drivers. It took me 5 days and multiple rides. And I'm telling you, because I was in fear for my life and I was on the run, that I prayed to God, if you get me out of this situation. I was stuck in Flagstaff, Arizona. I don't know if you know, if you've ever been there, but it gets cold at night. It's a high altitude. I was stuck in Phoenix, Arizona on the side of the highway, and it gets very hot there. I was unable to, didn't have the money to shower, shave, cut my hair. So when I needed help the most, I looked my worst. So most people would not pick me up. And I told God, if you get me out of this situation, I will dedicate my life to you. And I did. It changed me because I was really dark. It changed me. Now, does that mean I haven't fallen since? Does that mean I became perfect? No. I've made a lot of mistakes since. You can just ask my wife. Just don't talk to her too much. I made a lot of mistakes since. But when you have the knowledge of the scriptures, you have the knowledge of David. He was called a man after God's own heart. And he lusted after a woman, was married to a man who worked for him, was one of his high officers, got her pregnant, tried to trick her husband into sleeping with her to cover it up. He wouldn't do it because his men were still out in the field. So then he goes and has him killed, murdered. Paul murdered innocent women and children. But the one thing David did is that he kept coming back. He kept trying. He kept trying. So the value of the knowledge, because I was one of those kids that grew up in the church and then fell away. And the scripture even talks about it. If you teach them when they're young, even if they go astray, they'll come back. Now, sometimes they get so wrapped up with the evil one that they don't. But it saved the value of that knowledge saved me. Because I don't know where I would have ended up without it. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. I'm sorry, I'm talking too long. 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16. I think we read this earlier. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. You think about that for a minute. Of whom I am the worst. Let me finish reading that. I'm sorry. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example of those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Remember, when we forget about God, who takes his place? The evil one. And so that's the reason we need to come together. That's the reason we need to encourage each other. That's the reason we need to stay in the Word. And he says that he is the worst. The evil one wants to, this is what happens to most people. This is what happened to me. I was feeling sorry for myself. Didn't have nobody. Didn't have anybody I could call and get money from. Didn't have anybody I could count on. The evil one wants us to wallow in that. He wants us to be chained to that because that's the time that we fall away because we feel so sorry for what we've done and what we have or don't have. And that's the very time we should be running to Jesus. That's what he wants us to come close to him, right? And that, why do we do that? I think it's just human nature. We don't feel good enough. And so there's so many people out there that are First of all, they don't know the gospel. And I start out by saying, you know, I know the Bible can be complicated when you make it that way, when you start reading it. Genesis talks about creation, where we came from. Exodus through Malachi is basically predicting Jesus coming. There's a lot of details in there, though. You don't want to miss those. And then Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are telling the story of Jesus, the good news. And then Acts through Revelation is, okay, now you know this. Let's go. So it's really not complicated if you have the knowledge. But how are people going to get the knowledge? If people are wrapped up in their guilt, or they're not good enough, or whatever the situation is, they're never going to reach for it. Maybe this corona thing will assist us in doing that. But whose job is it to get that knowledge to them? And I stop saying, I'm teaching you. I want to share something with you. And we all have gifts, and I need to close. I got a lot more I could say. Knowledge is not just for scholastics. Knowledge is about watching and learning, and it's all of it combined. It can't save us, but without it, you have to hear first and then believe. So you have to have some sort of knowledge. So I'm going to encourage everybody this morning, whether you're watching remotely or you're here, or anybody that you know, to take an inventory of your life and where you are. And we're all in a different place. We're all struggling with something. And so to become a child of God, there's very limited knowledge that you need to know. And then after you are, because the blood of Jesus is the only way that we can come into contact with that miracle that's going to save us from the grave and is going to give us eternal life with Him. His blood is the only thing that can do that. But after that, all we have to do is love God and love each other. What is the possible downside of that? Can anybody give me a downside to that? Because if we did that right now in our country, I read recently that one of the founding fathers said if somebody just took the Bible and a brand new startup country was beginning somewhere and they used it only as their source of their law and how they set up their country, that it would be a utopia if they truly followed it. And that's the truth. Love God, love each other, be baptized for remission of your sins per the commandment. But there's no downside to it. And you know what it would do? It would fix a lot of the issues that we have going on right now. Because right now, the evil one is starting to win. And he will never win in the end. But I'm talking about our country here on this earth. Not spiritually. There's that spiritual battle going on that really interests me, and I like to talk about it. But I just want to encourage everybody this morning to take an inventory of where you are. And one of the things that I like to tell people, I know coming forward in the church is kind of a traditional thing that we do. It's an invitation. But it's for all of us to pray for each other. And we don't need to know, because I know that people's greatest fear is that, hey, if I tell somebody my sin and what I'm involved in, they're going to judge me. Even in the church, sometimes the church is the most judgmental place. And I hate to say that, but it's true. And so people are afraid to talk about it. Well, when you come forward and ask for prayer, you don't have to give all the details. Say, Lord, I need prayers. You know what I'm struggling with, and I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters. I don't need to know the particulars. I just want to know that you're struggling with something, and I can pray for you, and I can help you. And for me too, I need it most of all. And so please don't hesitate. And for those that are out there, let us know if you need prayers for any reason and help, because prayer, the Bible says prayer from righteous people availeth much. And it is so true. I've seen it so many times. And if you haven't put on your Lord in baptism, what is the downside? There's nothing but upside. We get forgiven of our sins, and we overcome our fear and our problem of the grave. And that's what most people are frightened of the most. So what's the downside? So please really consider it. Think about it. Think about the sense of urgency. And now I know why the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, there's water here. Why not now? Because guess what? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so that's why there's such a sense of urgency. So please, if you're out there, let us know. We'll come to you. We'll find a spot. Anybody here this morning that needs to put on their Lord in baptism who hasn't, please consider it. If you want to study more, if you need anything, please come forward now as we stand and sing.